Lord, bless Mike as he speaks to us tonight, and help us to learn something about you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, I'm going to talk to you tonight about some interesting stuff. I was thinking, you know, Matt asked me to speak, and everyone always talks about how the person, what their reaction is when they were asked to speak. And so Matt asked me to talk at CC's Pizza, and I was all for it. I knew it would be fun, and, you know, I knew God would give me something to say. But what I have to talk to you about tonight is, you know, totally serious, and I hope it really helps you. So I was thinking about what I was going to talk about. I didn't really feel like what I talked about in school was really needed for this level. So I asked God to give me something else, and he gave me a phrase. I was going through some stuff, and it was, "This is it," and I knew what it meant then, and I knew if I brought that out to everyone, no one would know what that meant. So I'm going to explain to you. It, to me, it to y'all, is there's always going to be something. I'm going to sit down here. It is something you're pretty much struggling with. I believe everyone is struggling with something. You know, temptation. Temptation is always going after you no matter what, and it's everywhere. You can't avoid it. I mean, you know, just doing research, trying to find verses in what I'm going to speak on, you know, you'll see ads on the internet, and it's everywhere. It's, you know, you can't avoid it. So I was doing some stuff with my dad, you know, some good devotional stuff, and, you know, I got some good verses in, some good stuff you can do to defeat the temptation. And this is it. The way that applies to you guys is something can be bothering you and, you know, constantly at you. And you think, you tell yourself, you know, I'm going to get over it. You know, I mean, I'm going to put it behind me. I'm going to get right with God. And if you don't really do certain things, it's just going to keep coming back at you. You're pretty much just putting on, you know, a clean layer on top of dirt, and the dirt eventually just comes out. So I came up with a few things that you need to do in order to come right. The first thing you need to do is make things right with God. And a verse that will help you with this, help you understand how good God is in Titus 2, 11 and 12. I think we have it up there. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So that's telling us we need to live godly with what's going on. So what we need to do is confess our sins. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't really, you know, get down and dirty and get rid of all of it. And you need to confess your sins. You need to make things right. And, you know, a lot of people won't want to do that because they don't understand that in order to make things right, it almost always gets worse. And they don't want to go through that. They don't want to, you know, make it right. And so once you've confessed your sins, you need to repent. And in Luke 5:32, it says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So, oh, wait. Anyway. Anyway, we need to repent. I don't know if that really applies. I thought it did when I got it up there. I guess I read it wrong. Anyway, we need to repent and get rid of all our crud. The next thing we need to do is dedicate our life to God. Once you repent, you need to make sure that you're not going to go back. You need to dedicate your life to him. And, okay. So once, you know, you've repented, you need to get rid of your old man. And so you need to get out with the old and with the new. Let's see here. In Ephesians 4, I don't know if I have it up there right now, it tells you to listen to God and read his word. it's all in Ephesians 4 from 17 to like 24 or something. It gives you some pretty good steps on what you need to do in order to get rid of your old man and get your new man on. So yeah, listen to God, read his word. The next thing you need to do is take off the old man. That old man's there even after you repent, but you got to listen to God. Once you repent and, you know, dedicate your life, take off the old man. That's, you know, a big step. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So you need to take off your old man. The next thing you need to do is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, you take off your old man, it's time to get a new way of thinking. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Once you take off your old man, you get a new renewal, your body and everything is just becoming clean. You need to put on a new man. And I believe that this isn't just the new man. I believe that this is a true man. You know, this is what God wants us to be, and the old man is not. The new man is what we're supposed to be. So it's not really the new man. It's what we're really supposed to be. And so I don't know if I had a verse for that. But yeah, after that, Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, even there it's talking about true righteousness, and that's what we're supposed to be in God. So once we put on the new man, we need not to dwell on the past, but look toward the future. Hebrews 10, 15 through 7 says, I think we should all read it out. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hands, hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. See, even God is saying that, you know, he's forgiving you. He's looking forward at your future, so you need not worry about the past, because that's only going to affect your future. After we've put on the new man, I think we need to take a stand for God daily. Stuff, you know, once again, it's there. After church tonight, you know, I'm going to try and speed up so we can watch the Spurs. There's going to be commercials that, you know, are going to have crud on there. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be there, and you're not going to be able to avoid it. I mean, you can close your eyes and, you know, walk away from it, which is what you need to do, just not need to pay attention to what's on the TV screen and everything else. I think Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, yeah, we need to stand fast for God, and you know, he'll help us. We just need to, you know, the decision's in our hands. I think a good thing to do daily is to have devotions and, you know, read your Bible. I'm going to try and do that. You know, when I'm graduating, I'm not going to be able to do that every day. I mean, like, I have the opportunity here right now. Every day I come in, I sing, you know, we have devotion, go to class, and I'm in a spirit-filled environment. As soon as I graduate, unless I go to a Bible college, I'm going to be nowhere near that experience. So I'm going to have to do something to stay with God. And I found when I'm doing daily devotions and reading my Bible, it's like a million times easier to to break the temptation, because you have all this stuff in your head and in your mind, and it doesn't even seem half as good as it does when you're not reading your Bible. So that is a very important thing that we need to do. We need a purpose in our hearts to do good after, you know, our devotions. If you just read it, it goes in one ear out the other. You're going nowhere with that. So yeah, purpose in your heart to do good during the day, and that'll help. Try and stay out of compromising situations. That's another big thing. You know, you look around and suddenly you're alone with someone, and it's all downhill from there, unless you're really strong. And that's, even then, that's a very hard thing to overcome. So just try and stay out of that. And, you know, resist the devil. That's number one. Just don't do that. I mean, do that. Resist the devil. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I like this thing right here, because it totally shows you how completely different the flesh is from the Spirit. And, you know, they're total opposites. The flesh just wants, you know, to please itself. And if you're living in that, you're nowhere near the Spirit. You're broken off from the Spirit. But when you're in the Spirit, you're broken off from the flesh. So just walk in the Spirit. Okay, so after, you know, I mean, doing all this, I think we need to put God in our relationships with one another. I didn't put it up there, I don't think, but Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What this is saying is, you know, but with one person, you can, you know, give in to temptation. But if you have two or three people, you know, with you, you're, you know, you can easily overcome it, which is, you know, great. So I think we should hang with good influences. You know, if you're, you know, messing around with people that are doing bad things, it's going to be easy for you to get in that. So just hang out with cool people. Be accountable for each other. You know, watch out for whatever everyone else is doing. If you see someone that's doing something stupid, you need to be the good influence in their life and tell them not to do it. Don't let them affect you. So be accountable for, you know, each friend. And I think it'd also be cool to have Bible studies. We're trying to do this every Thursday night. You know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard sometimes with stuff that's going on. But, you know, you need to, you know, just get together, study the Bible. Just read it, and it gets inside you and, you know, helps you out. I thought when I was meeting with my dad, I thought about something that, I mean, he taught me something that I had never thought about before, and it had to do with burying your dead man, and I totally had never thought about this. And does anyone know what is, you know, like, signifies burying your dead man? I'm sure someone, baptism, yeah, right there. I had never thought about that before, but when they, you know, grab your nose and mouth and put you underwater, they're putting you underwater, burying your old man, and when you come up, you're a totally new man with God. And Romans 6, 3 through 4 confirms that. It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were buried into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So that was a good analogy thing that I had never thought about, and it totally helps, like, me realize that I've buried my dead man and I'm a new man in Christ. But so yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've prepared for tonight. I hope you got something out of that. I think we should give a hand to Matt Bell. He's my favorite youth pastor in the world. So, yeah.
He's lying. Everybody give Micah a big hand. Yeah, cool. You know, when Micah told me what he was going to be talking about, the this is it, and then he explained to me a little bit about it. And don't put it up yet, Ben. Don't put it up. I thought about a verse. Immediately, I thought about a verse in Proverbs. And I want to share it with you. Sorry, I just ran from the projector booth, so now I'm out of breath. Like, everybody who's gotten up here tonight's had to run from wherever they were coming, and so we're out of breath because I'm out of shape. So it's a joke. Actually, it's not. So, yeah, I thought about this verse in Proverbs. How many of you guys have pets? What do you guys got? Dogs, cats, turtles? Mice, boa constrictors, little brothers, they don't count. Although sometimes they make bigger messes. I have two pets in my house. We have a cat and a dog. The dog's name is Boobers. The cat doesn't really have a name. They just call it Cat. My mom tried to name the cat Sophie because she didn't want it on the sofa, but I didn't like that, so I just call it Cat. So we have a cat and a dog, and cats and dogs, they do weird things. As you know, those with pets, right? Amen? You with me? You following me? One of Boober's favorite things to do is to come into my room and just go to the bathroom. That's like what he likes to do for fun. And because of that, I really don't like that dog at all. So me and him kind of have this thing where we both know that we don't like each other. And the deal with why he doesn't like me is because I think he knows that my mom loves me more than him, and he wants to be her number one, and it's just not happening. So he goes to the bathroom on my floor. That's one of the weird things Boobers does. Another weird thing Boobers does is he goes and he gets... We have a cat, and so we have a litter box, and Boobers goes and digs out little treats from the litter box and eats them. That's what he does. It's something he enjoys to do. Dogs do weird things. Have you ever seen a dog throw up, and then he goes and he eats it again? So can you put the verse up from Proverbs? Proverbs 26:11 says, just like a dog throws up and goes back and eats it, so does a fool repeat his folly. And so as soon as Micah told me what he was talking about, where he said that this is it, we need to like kind of like draw a line in the sand and decide that we're not going to keep making the same mistakes that we've been making, I had this verse come to mind. And, you know, I don't really understand why it is that a dog does those things. You know, I don't understand why what is so tasty about eating what you've just thrown up. But I think a lot of times God might look at us the same way and not like, why you guys keep falling into the same traps over and over again? You know, why is it that, you know, to God, that's like going back and eating your own vomit, you know, that's what it says. And we don't really think about it like that. I know it's kind of gruesome and, you know, it's about dinner time and nobody really likes that. But the key word in this verse here, can you guys guess what the key word is? Folly. No, folly. Because I didn't really, you know, I didn't know if you guys would know what it meant, so I looked it up, and folly means lack of good sense, foolishness, a foolish act, idea, or practice. And so it doesn't have to be sin that we're repeating. It could just be unwise decisions, you know, hanging out with the wrong people over and over and over again. When you know that that's probably not the best thing to be doing, you know, tells us what God thinks about it. You know, it's kind of nuts. Kind of a graphic verse, but the Bible's kind of a graphic book, if any of you ever read it. Any of you read your Bible out there? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I've got some fans of the Bible. So, you know, I think tonight we need to kind of maybe take stock of our lives. You know, when you lay down tonight before you go to bed, think of the things that you know you shouldn't be doing, the things that you know you need to cut out, and that you don't need to return to. And, you know, all you have to do is say a simple prayer. Dear Jesus, God, I pray that you would help me and give me strength to overcome these things. And then he'll be with you, and he'll be with you the next day, and he'll help you. And, you know, that's really the first step that we need to take in getting our lives back on track and deciding that this is it, and we're not going to keep repeating the same stupid things over and over again. Okay? So I really want to encourage you guys that it is a doable thing to live life as a Christian. You know, it's not just a bunch of rules and regulations, but it's something that we can do. All we need to do is ask God for help, and he'll be there to help us. Amen? Amen. All right. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you for each one of the young people here tonight. Lord, I pray you would bless them and keep them safe, Lord, as they go home, and be with them as they finish out school, and help them to do great on their tests. And Lord, those who are graduating, God, I pray you just bless them and lead them in the direction that you'd have them to take in their lives. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help the Spurs win tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.